Hi, everybody. I'm Rebecca Ibarra in for Tanzina this week, and this is The Takeaway. Last week, the Cherokee Nation Supreme Court ruled unanimously to remove the phrase "by blood" from the tribe's constitution and laws. The decision is particularly meaningful to descendants of Black people who were once enslaved by the tribe, known as Cherokee freedmen. According to the court, an 1866 treaty signed by the Cherokee Nation affirmed the tribal citizenship rights of freedmen, but their place within the tribe, including their ability to run for tribal government positions, has been questioned and challenged by other Cherokee Nation members over time. Joining us now is Allison Herrera, Indigenous Affairs reporter for KOSU. Allison, thanks for coming on The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me back.
This recent ruling is connected to a federal court decision from 2017. Can you tell us what was at issue in that case and how did the court rule?
Well, the 2017 ruling stemmed from in 2007, Cherokee Nation voters approved an amendment to the Constitution to limit citizenship to Cherokees who could prove they were, quote, by blood. And so a lawsuit was filed. And in 2017, a federal district court judge in D.C. ruled in favor of the freedmen. The case was known as Cherokee Nation versus Nash. And they said that freedmen should enjoy full citizenship of the tribal nation according to an 1866 treaty that they signed. So, you know, in 1866, the Cherokee Nation signed a treaty to establish a relationship again with the federal government after the Civil War. A lot of people don't know that the Cherokee Nation fought on the side of the Confederacy during the Civil War. And so this treaty was to establish a relationship with them. And so part of the negotiation said that the tribal nation needed to give freedmen citizenship. And so over time, that has been challenged. And in the Cherokee Nation versus Nash case, Marilyn Vann, who was a plaintiff in that case, she had filed for citizenship and, you know, wanted to get her citizenship in 2001 and was told, no, you don't qualify. And so she filed a suit against the Cherokee Nation and got her citizenship in 2006. And then that brings us to 2007 when that amendment was made to the Constitution. So I think it's really important to note that citizenship laws in the Cherokee Nation are not based on race or blood quantum. Some tribes have that, but not the Cherokee Nation. Many feel like that requiring blood quantum is a colonialist, antiquated way of saying who is and who isn't. You know, citizenship is based on community. Who can claim you? What community are you part of? And I tell people to think of it like if you were a citizen of France, you know, it's like that. You know, your culture, your community, people that you know, people that can claim you. And so that's a big difference. And I think that's when the Supreme Court of Cherokee Nation struck that by blood language from the Constitution. I think they were affirming that. Mm-hmm.
And you've spoken to some descendants of Cherokee freedmen since the court ruling was announced. How are they reacting to the news?
I spoke with Marilyn Vann. You know, the striking of this language was in, like you mentioned in your intro, she is running for a seat on the tribal council and somebody had challenged her candidacy. And so I spoke with her after this ruling and she was really surprised. She was really happy. And she feels, first and foremost, she is Cherokee. That's her heritage. You know, I remember when I first interviewed her 5 years ago, she said, you know, I knew who my family was, you know, I knew who we were and I felt like I'm a Cherokee just like anybody else. And so she's looking forward to, you know, running for her seat on the tribal council and the election is June 6th. And she said, you know, I'm looking forward to earning the trust of Cherokees and representing them.
So other than being able to say run for a seat, what will some of the most immediate impacts on the Cherokee Nation Supreme Court ruling be within the tribe?
I'm not sure if there are any other immediate impacts. I think this was the one that was really going to be most impacted. I mean, there are freedmen citizens enrolled in the tribe right now, and they enjoy the same benefits that other Cherokee Nation citizens have. You know, they're able to vote, they're able to receive health care, they're able to receive their vaccine, they're able to enjoy those benefits. And I think this striking the by blood language was really, some feel that this was just the last way to, you know, to really affirm that there's one type of Cherokee citizen, full stop. There is no, you know, you're Cherokee by blood, you're Cherokee, you know, you're a descendant. This is, there's one type of Cherokee citizen, full stop. And that's what this decision affirms.
And what have the leaders of the Cherokee Nation said about the court's ruling?
They're really happy. I mean, Attorney General Sarah Hill really welcomed Monday's opinion. And she remarked on the language that Justice Shauna Baker wrote. You know, she said, when we signed this treaty, the federal government said that they were going to uphold their end of the trust responsibility. And so by us taking out this language, that means that we are upholding our end of the trust responsibility by allowing freedmen to become citizens. And, you know, it particularly in that ruling, there was this language that referenced the McGirt decision from last summer. If you'll recall, you know, the Supreme Court ruled that the Muscogee Creek Nation was never disestablished. And that also, you know, had applied to other tribes. And so, you know, in the ruling that Justice Shauna Baker wrote, she said, 155 years after the 1866 treaty, Native Cherokees must fully step into the promise they made on the far end of Trail of Tears. And that's a direct quote from Justice Gorsuch's writing from last summer in the Supreme Court decision. And she also said, by doing so, the Cherokee Nation as a whole lifts itself into the 21st century and sheds the heavy weight of antebellum and pervasiveness of racism and racial injustice for all. So those were words that were written in the decision on Monday. And you know, a lot of people commented on how thoughtful that was.
So in 2007, around 75% of Cherokee Nation members approved an amendment that added the by blood language to their constitution. Why was there so much support for that language at the time then?
You know, I can't really speak to that. What I will say is, since this decision has come down, there are people who feel that the Supreme Court and the Attorney General had no right to take that language out of the Constitution. And they're really upset about it. They feel like this was something that should have been put to the people. This was something that should have been done by a vote. And people that are upset about it say that would be like, you know, a justice striking words from the United States Constitution. How is that legal? That's not legal. And they say that this move is an illegal move on the part of the Cherokee Nation leadership. And so they're quite upset about it. And I think, you know, the other four tribes in Oklahoma, the other four larger tribes, the Seminole, the Chickasaw, the Choctaw, and the Muscogee Creek, they all have freedmen as well. And I spoke with an official from Muscogee Creek Nation yesterday about this decision and what implications that has for their tribal nation. And he said, you know, we don't want to just take something out of our constitution. We're not going to go the way of Cherokee Nation. We want to have a discussion about this issue. It's a really important discussion, and and we really want to talk about it, and it's time we talk about it. And if we're going to make any decisions about citizenship, we're going to let the people decide.
Yeah. What is the relationship between freedmen, descendants, and other tribal nations in Oklahoma?
Well, I do know the Seminole Nation. I've spoken and interviewed a Seminole Nation freedman descendant, and she's on the tribal council. She can vote, but she claims that she cannot enjoy other citizenship privileges, such as health care or other things. And so other freedman descendants don't have citizenship in the tribe at the moment. And I think that this decision, freedmen descendants who I've spoken with say that this decision on Monday, they're, you know, willing to use this as a platform to put pressure on tribal leadership to do so. Whether or not that works, I don't know. But yeah.
And did last summer's racial justice uprising lead the Cherokee Nation to maybe reevaluate the legacy of slavery within the tribe?
I think that the discussions around racial justice and racial injustice have certainly given the Friedman a platform to discuss these issues. And also, this is the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre. I think that that's also another platform where Friedman feel like they can discuss these issues more openly. Marilyn Vann is the president of this organization called the Descendants of Friedman of the Five Tribes. And they meet every month and they talk about citizenship issues. And certainly, you know, last summer, Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin Jr. did remove a Confederate monument from the lawn out in front of the Cherokee Nation Courthouse in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So I think there are steps that the Cherokee Nation are taking to, you know, reckon with their history of, you know, being part of, you know, fighting on the part of the Confederacy. And as Justice Shauna Baker wrote, shed the heavy weight of antebellum, of the antebellum. So yeah, I definitely think that the conversations in the wake of the killing of George Floyd last summer have given the Friedmen a platform to talk about their own racial justice issues.
Allison Herrera is an Indigenous Affairs reporter for KOSU. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.